Welcome to the 376th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. Stay tuned for my interview with writer Jesper Smit, author of the Keystone Bone Trilogy. Stay tuned for the interview. The Reading and Writing Podcast is brought to you by Libro FM. Libro.fm lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. You can pick from more than 185,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there, but you'll be part of a different story. One that supports your local community and your local bookstore. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. You can listen during your commute, while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free Libro.fm app. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from people who know audiobooks best, your local bookseller. Here's your special offer from the Reading and Writing Podcast. Get two audiobooks for the price of one today with your first month of membership with the code RWPODCAST at checkout. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the U.S., Check out Libro.fm today. Well, welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Jesper Smit. Jesper is the author of the Keystone Bone Trilogy. He's also the co-host of the Am Writing Fantasy Podcast, and he's the co-author with Autumn Burt of three new books about writing: Plot Development, A Method for Outlining Fiction; Plot Development, Step-by-Step, Exercises for Planning Your Book; and then Story Idea, A Method to Develop a Book Idea. Jesper, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Great. Well, if someone listening hasn't heard about the Keystone Bone Trilogy yet, how would you describe your trilogy?
Well, it's probably a fairly classic fantasy tale, I would say. It has, though, races and people and monsters and whatnot that I built myself or developed myself. But I think the main characters probably resemble elves fairly well. Although in this case, these people, if they leave the forest, they get something called the field blight, which will basically kill them over time. So they can't stay out of the forest for too long. And unfortunately, the main protagonist will be forced to do so. So there's some challenges there.
Well, as I mentioned, you're the co-host of the Am Writing Fantasy Podcast, and you currently have 84 episodes. What drove you to start podcasting, and what can someone expect if they listen to the Am Writing Fantasy Podcast?
Yeah, well, we started actually many, many years ago with a YouTube channel. So there's also an Am Writing Fantasy YouTube channel where originally we uploaded videos, very much in the beginning focused on fantasy world building, author interviews, and stuff like that. And we probably ran that for something like 2.5 years. And the video media is fairly different from the audio media. you have to do a lot of other things to keep a YouTube video engaging, and it takes a lot of effort. Podcasting does as well, but it's different. And we didn't really see, after 2.5 years, we weren't at the place where we wanted to be with the YouTube channel. So we decided to try to shift medium to something else, and then started the podcast instead. So that's what we do nowadays. We've been doing that for probably a year or something like that. Well, it's going a lot better. we still upload the podcast episodes to the YouTube channel, so they are there if people prefer to listen via YouTube. But there are no longer videos as such on our channel there. But what we try to cover is basically everything. Sometimes we talk about the writing craft itself. Sometimes we talk about marketing of books, and sometimes we talk about the general publishing process. So we cover a lot of different things, and then usually once a month we have a different voice joining the podcast, meaning that we have a guest coming on, and we try to get guests on who are very, very accomplished in what they're talking about. So, for example, we've had Joanna Penn on to talk about publishing wide and stuff like that. Mark Leslie Lefebvre, who is the former Kobo director, was also on. So we tried to get some, we could label them as heavy hitters on to educate the audience. So there's a lot of good stuff to get there.
Great. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you've just published 3 different nonfiction books about writing, 2 of those specifically about plot development. What mistakes or problems do you see with fantasy authors who are struggling with plot issues?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say that they are mistakes as such, to be honest. I mean, between Autumn and myself, we've written more than 20 books by now. And to be honest, we're probably approaching or even have surpassed 30. So we've been through this a lot of times ourselves. And Autumn and I, we are also co-writing. So we needed to be able to document how we're going to write books. And that was basically the starting point for why we wanted to write these books on how to plot a novel. But to come back to your question there, I don't think it's mistakes as such. It's more like a different way of doing it, because you can pants books, meaning that you don't plot them at all and you just write. And then what you will face is that once you get to the editing stage, you need to spend a lot of time rewriting and redoing. You'll have plot holes, things that doesn't make any sense. You might be missing part of a character arc and stuff like that. So I guess to some extent you could say you can just choose your preference here, meaning that you can just write whatever you want and then spend a lot of time editing, or you can try to spend some time up front planning things out, and you are going to spend a lot less time during editing. So it's not necessarily that the plotting itself is overall going to save you a lot of time, because it's more like, do you spend the time in the beginning or do you spend it in the end? But what I do like about the plotting, which I do think some novels suffer from, is the fact that the truly original ideas usually don't come to you if you're just writing or pantsing it out. When you spend some time up front trying to really think about how can I make this interesting and how can I make it different compared to what has been read and seen a million times before, that's where you can get some originality into your novel, which a lot of the time either you won't get if you pants it, or you will miss it during editing because there is a million other things that you're trying to juggle and get to work in the story at that point in time. So it's just it's a methodology in terms of writing a novel. It's not the only way of doing it, and we don't try in the books either to preach that everybody should do it. But what we do say is that everybody should try it once before they say that they don't like plotting.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, can you explain in a little more detail how you and Autumn go about plotting a novel? And when we say plotting, are we talking about an outline? And if so, how long would that be for a typical novel, and how much detail are you giving it? Is it something where, for example, this is a different craft, but if you read interviews with filmmakers, they will oftentimes storyboard the entire movie where they have almost like a cartoon or comic book of each scene. So I guess what I'm asking is it on a scene by scene level? Is it chapter by chapter? Can you give us a little bit more detail about how you and Autumn actually plot a novel and what that looks like?
Absolutely, yes. So we've divided our process into basically, like, we call them the seven pillars of story structure. So before we actually get into any sort of plotting elements, we always develop our characters first. Because basically, it doesn't matter what genre you write in, the characters are what makes the readers come back for more. The characters are the story. So if you look at it, you know, at its core, a story is really about someone who's confronted with a problem. They cannot ignore that problem. And as a result, they come out changed on the other end. So that's basically the character arc. And without the character arc, you have nothing except a series of random events that takes place, and maybe some stuff blows up here and there and whatnot. But it's not really a story without that. So that's why we always focus with, or start out with developing our characters and understanding who are the characters who's going to populate the story, and how are they going to work? Quite maybe a bit of a side tangent here, but it was quite interesting because we actually researched all the top 100 best-selling fantasy books, because that's our genre, on Amazon.com. And we found that 27% of the positive reviews all mentioned characters as the reason why people like the book. And second place was actually plot with 20%. And also, if you look at all the negative reviews, we found that also 27% of the negative reviews stated that poor character development was the reason why they did not like the book. And after that came grammatical errors with only 10%. So based on that, at least, it's fair to assume that across genres as well, that characters are massively important to how well a book is received. And it is also really important what happens, and that's where our pillar number two comes in. That's the plot post, as we call them. So that's basically all like the major things that are going to happen throughout the plot. So we have a lot of stages to this, and we go into great detail in the book about explaining exactly how to do that. But we then lay out all those external events, what's going to happen, and mingle it together with the character arc and the journey that the character will take, so that basically everything fits together. We also like to look at Enneagram personality types. We have a full chapter on that. We use the Enneagram to define our characters when we develop them, because there is, you have a number of different Enneagram types. You have 9 personality types, and you can be healthy or unhealthy versions of each. And it's extremely helpful to, in the book, we have whole lists of this. So basically you could say, okay, I have an Enneagram personality type number 7 as this character, and he's at this level of maturity. And then you can, you know, shift him upwards in maturity or make him less mature or less unhealthy, so to speak, as part of the character arc. So basically, by using this system, you don't have to invent the wheel. You can use those templates as such to run characters. Actually, to be honest, in episode 82 of the I'm Writing Fantasy podcast, we dove into all the Enneagram personality types. And we also tried to make it very entertaining to listen to. So there's some really funny examples there. But
right.
But maybe coming back to the question about how long is the outline, because also here I feel like it varies a lot. You can get by with fairly high level plot of your novel if you want. We don't say in the book that you have to do this much or this little. We say that you have to go through all the 7 pillars that we have laid out in order to get the final result. But how much do you write in each pillar is probably a lot down to your own process, a lot down to your own experience and your own preferences. In our particular case, it is extremely detailed. Because we co-write the books, it is the worst thing that can happen for us is that we start writing and then we're 15 chapters in, and then all of a sudden, Autumn tells me that this is not what I thought was going to happen, or this is not what I wanted to happen. And then we have to rewrite the whole thing. So we don't want to do that. So we are, in our case, we are extremely detailed. So basically, once we're done plotting.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
The only thing we need to do to turn it into a novel is filling in the blanks, meaning the plotting won't have any setting descriptions, but we know exactly where the characters are, we know who they're talking to, what they're talking about. The whole thing is there. So the whole story is basically there, but we need to fill in maybe 50,000 words of description, but we know exactly what's going to take place. So, but I don't think there is a definitive answer on how much or how little people should do. I think people need to find their own way with it.
And is this something that you developed over time, this method of plotting?
Yeah. So, as I said, we probably are close to or have surpassed 30 books that we've written by now. So this is sort of a combination of everything that Autumn learned through her writing of books and what I learned through my writing of books meshed together. And then, of course, we had a lot of discussions about how do we structure it best and what would work for us. So at the end of the day, we needed a method for plotting our joint books that we could both thought was well enough, deep enough, detailed enough, and covered all the important points when it comes to structuring a novel. So that was what it was born out of, basically the joint experience there and what we feel like this is what works and this is what makes a novel tick. Because the stories that work all have a structure and they all follow a certain formula. And the formula of this is the whole point. So I know, for example, those who don't like plotting, what we quite often hear is people saying that, well, if you plot the novel in that much detail, aren't you just boxing the story in and it sort of becomes very boring? But again, the formula and the story structure is the whole point of it. So a lot of the creative work that takes place during the plotting, that's where we do a lot of brainstorming, a lot of discussing back and forth. How do we make this part of the novel more exciting and how do we make it better and so forth? And then, of course, then you can say yes. Then when you sit down to write, then you're as I said before, you're filling in the blanks. Whereas the people who are pantsing the novel, they will discover the story as they write. So not one is not better than the other, but at the end of the day, even those who pants also needs then during editing to get back to the formula of a story structure, because unless you are hitting certain things in a story that readers expect to be there, the readers might not be able to put their fingers on why they don't quite like the story, but intuitively they will know that there's something off with the story and I don't quite like it. And that is because it's not following the formula that is expected when you're reading a story. So that might sound a bit formulaic and boring, but it's still true nevertheless.
it kind of reminds me, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the thriller and suspense author Jeffrey Deaver. I've actually interviewed him on this podcast, and he has said in that interview, as well as many other interviews, he describes his writing process, and it's very similar to what you're talking about, to the point where because he's one of these authors who is on a strict schedule of at least one book a year, and he can spend months on a very, very detailed outline to the point mm-hmm. where when he finishes, he can end up writing the novel very quickly. But his books are very, very plot, and also he tries to have multiple twists in the stories where you think it's going in one direction and suddenly you're surprised. But it just makes me think of that. So there are several screenplay books about how to write screenplays, not novels, but screenplays, that spend a lot of time stressing a very specific formula or structure for plot. Do you think the same applies to novel writing and plots?
Yeah, it's not necessarily, I guess, that maybe the same structure. I'm not too familiar with screenplay writing, so I'm not going to claim to be an expert there. But at least when it comes to novel writing, there is a formula, you know, for example, okay, so you need an inciting incident. Something needs to happen that triggers the person to go on their journey or to do something out of their, I mean, otherwise, why would they? Why would they run to the castle to fight the dragon unless there's a reason to, right? That's not something you just decide to do. So there is these different pillars that we call plot posts that you need to go through, and they need to be there. If a reader gets like, probably, let's say, 4 or 5 chapters into the book, and nothing has happened yet, the character is still walking around at home and talking to the friends and family and whatnot. I mean, that's sort of where the readers start to tune out, right? Then they'll be like, well, I feel like something should have happened now. They might not know that in a story structure, this is about the time where an inciting incident should occur. But intuitively, as I said before, you know, they will feel like, well, there's something off here. Why is nothing has happened yet? And when we lay out our plot posts, we actually give a calculation that allows you to say, okay, the novel is probably going to be this many words. And we even break it down by genre to say what is normally the length of a novel in which genre. So you can take that and you can start breaking it down to say, okay, if my novel is 100,000 words, that means that the inciting incident should probably happen in chapter number 5, for instance. And then when you do your plotting, you put it there. And by the end of the process, you have a novel that follows the structure that readers expect to see, even if they don't know it.
So what are your earliest memories of reading fantasy novels?
I think my earliest one is probably the Dragonlance series by Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman. I absolutely loved that as a child reading that. And I think it was last year, I had sort of been thinking about for a long time, maybe I should read it again, but I was really concerned, you know, once you go back and revisit an old novel that you really love, you're concerned that it's not going to help. It's probably like 30 years probably since I read it. So it feels like I'm scared that it's going to disappoint me if I read it again. But I have 2 sons now, so I thought like, okay, fine, let's try to read it, and then I'll read it together with them. And it's held up time-wise pretty well, I would say. It's pretty good, but you can see that it has aged a bit. You know, there is a bit of info dumps going on, and the way of telling the story is slightly different compared to how you tell a story in today's day and age. But I absolutely loved Dragonlance when that first came out, or when I first read it, I should say.
So what led you to writing and publishing your first novel?
Yeah, so I've always liked creating. I've always loved world building, and I was never in doubt that if I was going to do anything, it would have to be fantasy, because I just love that. But I also had in the back of my mind, you know, that, well, writing is probably, it could be fun to write a novel someday. You know, I think I saw some surveys on the internet at some point that said that 90% of all Americans would like to write a novel, something like that. So it's probably not anything different for me in that case. That it's just something a lot of people think about that would be interesting to do. But also, like a lot of people, I had it in my mind that that's something I could do when I retire at some point. Then I can sit down and I can start writing a novel. And then usually most years, the family and myself, we go to Finland and we spend a couple of weeks of summer vacation in a summer cottage up there. And in Finland, you go to the sauna a lot. So one evening I was sitting there during summer vacation in the sauna and just relaxing. And then I started thinking, why is it that I got it into my mind that writing a novel is something that I cannot do until I retire? Why couldn't I just write now? You know, do as much as I can. I have to take care of a day job and all the other stuff and family and whatnot, like everybody else. But if I write like an hour a day, maybe, or half an hour, or whatever I can fit in, at some point I will have a novel. And then I just sort of, next morning I got up and I pulled out my laptop and I just started writing something. That never saw the light of day, of course. It was horrible, but I just started writing.
So did you end up writing any novels before the one that became your first novel that published?
I guess kind of, you could say, because the first novel that I published is sort of the second iteration of that novel. Okay. I threw away probably 50,000-60,000 word of that novel and started all over. So it is the second version of it. It's the same story, but, or slightly same story. I did change that as well, but it took many, many tries before I got to a stage where I felt like, okay, now this is actually fair to ask money for now.
Great. Well, are you working on another novel now?
Yeah, so we just published those three books that you mentioned in the beginning of this episode, which were all nonfiction books. And then Autumn and myself, we're also running courses for authors. So we have a course that we are basically going to spend the rest of this year finishing up. So we have the plot for our next fiction novel done, for book number one in that series. We have that done. It's probably going to be a 6-book series. And the entire plot for book one, number one, is complete. So the aim is that once we get to the end of this year and hopefully have this course completed and made available, then we will get into writing that series. And next year, 2021, we will purely focus on writing novels. And hopefully, if all goes well, maybe we can publish or write 3 or 4 books next year.
Great. Well, what books and authors inspire you and that you go back and reread?
Well, I'm probably a bit weird in this content because it's the same thing with when it comes to movies or series on Netflix or HBO or whatever. You know, my wife she likes to go back and watch some of the old stuff that it has been a while since she last watched it, and because it's good and she loved the series or she loved the characters, and she watches again. And I never do it. You know, I just feel like once I've seen or read something once, then I'm done with it and I move on. So I don't really have anything I'm revisiting as such.
What have you read? What have you read in the last 2 to 3 years that you really enjoyed and that you would mention?
Right now, I'm reading like a short story collection, which is a bunch of different authors. Which is actually sci-fi. Sci-fi is also good, but most of the time I do read fantasy. But Daniel Aronson had a short story in that collection. And right now, on top of my head, I can't remember what it was called, but it's basically like angels fighting the devil and stuff like that. And it was pretty cool. I really like that one. But unfortunately,
do you remember the name of the anthology?
Yeah, it was called Galaxy, I think. But actually, I checked because I wanted to mention it on our own podcast. It was something that they put together and published because they were raising money for a charity event. And I checked on Amazon last month and it's gone. So I think that they pulled it again after they collected the charity and then they removed the collection again. So I'm not sure you can actually get it anywhere.
That's unfortunate. Where can people find you online to learn more about you and your books?
Yeah, so obviously, since this is a podcast, and obviously I would encourage people to go to the Am Writing Fantasy podcast. You just search for that, and we are basically everywhere. So you search in your podcast app, and you can find us, and we often talk about the things we're doing there in that podcast. But otherwise, if people want to find about me specifically, then type in jespersmith.com. I think probably my name will be in the show notes or something. That might be difficult to spell out for people. But jespersmith.com, and you can find all the details if you want.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Jesper Smith, author of the Keystone Bone Trilogy. He's also the co-host of the Am Writing Fantasy podcast, and he's the co-author with Autumn Bird of three new books about writing: Plot Development, A Method for Outlining Fiction; Plot Development, Step-by-Step Exercises for Planning Your Book; and Story Idea, A Method to Develop a Book Idea. So go buy the books now. And Jesper, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.